Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am so excited because tonight we are still covering the second book of Timothy. And we know that this particular study is a great lesson that Paul tutored Timothy in. And it teaches and establishes, it taught Timothy or instructed Timothy to establish new churches. And it gave excellent ways of stimulating the people to adhere and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, because of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost to guide both Paul and Timothy, there is no better other way of planting and watering the flock than what is written in the letter to Timothy by Paul. Now, I highly suggest that tonight that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, Bible apps, tablets, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. And another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, as I like to consider it, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you'd like. Our host has set up a chat room that you may go into and ask these questions or inquiry. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank all of those who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he himself shall be with them and be their God. This is taken from Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. Now, the promise is that we will be God's tabernacle if we allow him to dwell in us. And the only way he will, if we obey his commandments. Jesus said again, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come and serve them. That's taken from Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Now, the promise, the blessing, is that if you are watching for the Lord when he cometh, doing his will, you will be satisfied with the results he will give you. Jesus said again, through Apostle Paul this time, be ye not unequally yoked with non-believers, and the Father will receive you and be your Father, and you will be his sons and daughters. That is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Now, the promise is that if you are not unequally yoked, God will make his rest in you. And as we mentioned in Revelation 21, verse 3, we will become his tabernacle. So the question this hour is again, my precious brothers and sisters, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get started, I want to, as I always do, give you the understanding that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code, my precious brothers and sisters, is through study and learning. And that's why we're here tonight, to study and learn together. Okay, let's go to the study. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy. We're going to be looking at chapter 2, verse 16 and verse 23. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 and verse 23. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the two verses to you. Avoid babbling and unlearned questionings. This is what Paul is instructing Timothy, to be careful with that type of dialogue. And we today can look at that as filibustering. We can look at it as those type of conversations that are unlearned or are just used to incite and contend. This is what Paul told Timothy. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. In verse 23, he continues and completes the thought by saying, because foolish and unlearned questions gender strife. So that is the reason we should avoid them, my precious brothers and sisters. And let's look at Matthew chapter 16 and see how Jesus amplified this thought in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, and then verse 11 and 12. This is how Jesus put it to show how significant this is. Jesus said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then in verse 11 and 12, he explains the details. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understand they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That tells you even more so, my brothers and sisters, because some doctrines may sound like they're adequate and accurate, but they actually are not. And now let's go to our Old Testament complement and see what said concerning this to the Israelites. This is how he rehearsed it to Israel. And of course, David put it more emphatically. This is what David said. Turn with me to Psalms 120, and we're going to look at verse 2 and 3. And this is what David said. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? From lying lips and a deceitful tongue. That is what happens when, like I said today, that you are engaged in filibustering and gerrymandering and those types of activities. verse 3 completes the thought when it says, what shall be given unto thee? Oh, what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? That false tongue is going to be held accountable. Jesus says we will be held accountable for every idle word spoken. For by our words we are justified, and by our words we are condemned. You need to make sure you understand that, my precious brothers and sisters. And now let's look at, this is what it should mean to us spiritually, that we must be on guard against the allure of worldliness. Be on guard against the allure of worldliness. That's the instruction I want you to take from this particular lesson. And now I see it's our first break. Let's go to the break, and then we'll return and continue the lesson.
Have you ever been chased by something? I've discovered that everybody is running from something. Everybody is running from something or someone, even if that someone is themselves. We're all being chased by something. It might be a fear. It might be an anxiety. It might be an imagination. It might be guilt. But you are being chased. It's amazing how looking back can take all of your faith out of the frame. As long as you're looking forward on the next step that God has called you to take, all you'll ever see is the waters parting with every step that you take. But when you look back, all you see is the wheels of the chariots. Before you, waters are parting. Behind you, the wheels of the chariot are turning, and your faith is dependent on which direction you look.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's carry on to the next instruction. Now, I have written 20 instructions for the four chapters that are in 2 Timothy. So let's go now to instruction number 13, and we're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 19, just one verse, chapter 2, verse 19. And this is what the instruction I want you to keep in mind when I read the verse to you. Ensure your sealing. My brothers and sisters, that is critical. We must make sure that we are stamped with the approval of God. And we know that one part of that sealing is through our faith and then through our baptism. So we are going to see now what Paul taught Timothy in verse 19. This is what Paul says. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It is beyond our understanding how we have been chosen by Christ. In the Gospel of John, it tells us that. Jesus says to the apostles, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So we know that he was talking specifically about his apostles, but we can infer and refer that to us, my precious brothers and sisters. And I would suggest to you, you following Christ should understand that you have been chosen to be a Christian. Not all are. And this is how the book of Revelation puts it. We're going to go to Revelations chapter 3. This is going to emphasize the point. Revelations chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. This is what the Spirit speaking to the church says. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Listen, my precious brothers, because we are obedient, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. My brothers and sisters, you want to be kept from the temptation of the world? You must keep God's, more especially Jesus' word. Verse 11 continues and says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." You want to endure to the end in order to receive a crown of life. And that is so significant. You've got to hold fast, hold tight, keep, stay the course, in other words. And this is how the Spirit continues with the thought in verse 12. "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name." Listen, my brothers and sisters, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The seal will be applied if you keep what the Spirit is telling you here to the churches. And we are, as you know, the churches. Okay, now let's go to Psalms 37, and we're going to see our Old Testament complement, how it compares and agrees with what we just read. And we're going to just look at one verse from Psalms 37, Psalms 37, verse 37. And my precious brothers and sisters, listen, this is what King David rehearsed to Israel. He said, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." My brothers and sisters, that is how you know that your seal is secured, because of your peace. And we know what that means. Tranquility, serenity, not in the world, but in God. Solace, peace, calmness, stillness, silence, rest. All of those attributes are a part of this peace we're talking about. And that is what the psalmist is saying, King David. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the indwelling is our final seal of approval by God. Earlier in my explanation, I mentioned to you about faith and about being baptized as a part of the process. My brothers and sisters, the completing of the process is that indwelling. And that is so important to know. And peace is going to be a result, as King David told Israel. All right, let's go to the next instruction. Back with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verse 20 and verse 21. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the two verses to you. This is the instruction. Beware of this mystery. Now, at the beginning of the program, I told you that the Bible is cloaked in mystery. And the mystery of the Bible comes in so many different forms, in parables, proverbs, prophecies, even in paradoxes, so many different forms, symbols. So the thing is that it's full of mysteries. And what I'm doing is just sharing this one with you that Paul gave to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Now, this is what Paul told Timothy. "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and of some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and met and meet for the master's use, and prepare unto every good work." My precious brothers and sisters, we have to realize that the mystery is that there are good and bad. There are righteous and unrighteous. We have to be so careful that we fall into the category of the righteous. And of course, if you have the peace, that seal of the indwelling, you know you have arrived. Now, this is how it is exemplified in the book of Matthew. This is Jesus speaking And he's going to exemplify this point by saying in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30, this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, and another parable he put forth saying, the kingdom of God is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. When men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then is their tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said then unto him, wilt thou have us to go out and gather up the tares? But he said, nay, let them grow together, the tares and the wheat. And at the harvest, in the time of the reapers, they will gather them together. And they'll first put the tares in a bundle and burn them and gather the wheat into my barn. That is so significant that it correlates to what we just read about what Paul told Timothy. We know that there is the good and the evil, and we know that is prevalent in our lives. We know that the good and the evil will be in our lives for the entirety of it, from cradle to grave. But we must, if you will, accentuate the good and deflate the evil. We must let good be prominent, and that's the key here. Because if it's not, then we're going to lose out in the end, as Jesus identified. Now, this is what the Old Testament says in relationship and comparing. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 19, one verse, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19. And this is what Moses rehearsed to Israel. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall appear before the Lord empty. That's what verse 6, oh, I read the wrong verse. It's chapter 16, verse 19. This is what Moses rehearsed. Thou shalt not risk judgment. Thou shalt not be a respecter of persons. Listen, my brothers and sisters, neither take a gift, for a gift blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the way of the righteous. That is so significant for us to note. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the Bible is a book of mysteries, and we must rightfully divide to understand it. That is the key. And now I see we're at another break. Let us take our break, and we'll return to the lesson.
I give you four guidelines on open doors, closed doors. Number one, since God is sovereign, he is in full control on both sides of any door. Second, being in full control, God takes full responsibility for the results. Number three, the closing of a good opportunity occurs in order to lead us to an even better one. And number four, not until you walk through the open door and look back do you realize the necessity of the other doors being closed. Even though we don't understand why, we'll go. I have no idea what closed doors you are living with. For all I know, you are going through self-loathing and blame. Or even worse, you may be blaming someone else because a door closed. Because I don't know which one to speak to directly, I speak to all of you and say, let it be. Let the oak. let the acorns scatter. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footstep on the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright design and works his sovereign will. Let it be. Let it be.
Welcome back to our program. We have a listener, Mark from Ohio. He would like to ask our Bible teacher some questions. Mark, you're on the air with us.
Hey,
yes,
Brother
Mark.
Pete. Hey,
how you doing, my brother?
Wonderful. How about you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
First,
God is good.
Amen. I guess it's really not a question. It's just words of encouragement to say thank you for proclaiming the truth of the Word of God to us. I really appreciate that.
Amen.
Yes, I caught a couple of things, and I think I might have come in a few minutes late, but man, it was just really, the Lord was bringing scriptures back to my remembrance about you talking about us being chosen, and you know, it led me right to Peter, and 1 Peter 2:9 talks about you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And you know, and looking at that book and seeing who he was writing to, if you back up and go to the first chapter and verse 2, he's writing to the elect, another word for the chosen. God's
Amen.
Special people. God's special people, you know, and you talking about our sanctification process, you know, about being obedient to God and doing the things that he's asking us to do. Bringing these other scriptures in the Old Testament, you know, him telling us how to treat one another, not taking bribes. And I just want to say thank you, brother, because that is an encouragement to me that, you know, to adhere to the Word of God. We are chosen. He called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light for a reason, you know, to glorify him and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And thank you for doing that.
Amen. Well, I appreciate the comment of my precious brother. Mark, I'll tell you that we, as Jesus told Ananias about Paul, when Paul was subjected to the fall in Damascus, that Paul was a special vessel.
Yes, chosen.
And that, yes, sir. Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm going to show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Yes, sir. Now, to tell you even, to elaborate more and expand upon this, God created all of humanity to dress his garden. That makes us all special. Those who are responding to God are not as special as, or I would say, is the household of the faithful. Okay?
Yeah.
And those who respond to Jesus Christ, they are part of his flock. So that makes us even more special. So we
Amen.
Have to take into consideration that all of God's humanity, he wants to be saved. So that makes us all special to begin with.
Right,
but
right.
We, as Jesus Christ Christians, are the priests of the tribes, if you will, of the garden keepers. Just like Leviticus was held aside, their inheritance was in God. Our inheritance is in Jesus Christ. So that gives us even more special favor.
Amen.
So
I mean,
just
he tells
us.
Yes. And,
go ahead.
You know, you was talking about the obedience in him, about doing what he's asking us to do. And, you know, and that reminded me of John 16:33, where he says, Jesus himself says that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we have peace and joy when we walk in Christ and do what he's asking us to do.
And that is what I mentioned earlier. That is the mark of our sealing.
Yeah.
That's one of the marks of our sealing is peace.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Peace between us and God. That's what Christ came to bring, you know, and that's salvation.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And that's, you know, when you was talking about we're all his creation, and we are, and we become his children. John told us in his first chapter of John, the Gospel of John, that, you know, as many as received him, Christ Jesus, have the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Yes. So thank you, brother.
Yes. And I'll tell you, faith is a part of that sealing too. You got to have the faith. You got to have the belief.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Okay. So we'll continue with the program. We're on instruction number 15. Thanking again Mark for his timely comments. We're going to continue. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 this time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. And what we're going to do as I read the verse to you, keep in mind this instruction. This is what I want you to pay attention to, my precious brothers and sisters. Flee worldly lusts. That is the instruction. And this is what Timothy was taught about that through Paul. Paul says to Timothy, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. And with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, we can say that all of these are parts of the sealing process, my brothers and sisters. When we're talking about godliness, we're not talking about one specific thing. We're talking about all of God. Remember, God is all in all. So every word that proceeded forth from the mouth of God is not only food indeed for the soul, it is goodness indeed for the body and soul. For Moses rehearsed this to Israel, and Jesus declared it, that every word that proceeded forth from the mouth of God, that is the bread that feeds man. And that is so significant for us to understand. So fleeing worldly lust, all of those items that Paul told Timothy is very significant for us to know. And we can now I'm going to exemplify this by going to 1 John chapter 2. Turn with me again, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 15 through 17, and we're going to see how significant the fleeing of lust is. This is how John put it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So that's how it's exemplified, that we must war against the flesh. And let me tell you, my precious brothers and sisters, if you don't war against the flesh, it doesn't matter. The flesh is warring against you. So are you going to allow it to win? Now let's go to our Old Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 78. And we're going to hear how David himself rehearsed this to Israel. Psalms 78. And we're going to look at verse 17 through 19. And this is how David put it to Israel. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yet they, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? So you can see where they, David is rehearsing this for Israel, and we know what happened in the garden because God gave them quail, and he gave them so much of that quail that the lust of it came through their nostrils and out of their ears, and it even destroyed some of them. So we can see how significant fleeing of worldly lust is. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That physical desire can lead us away from God. My brothers and sisters, that's what I want you to understand from this instruction. Physical desires can lead us away from God. And that could be even to feed and clothe the body. We could be so wanton for those good things to eat and those nice things to wear that we get caught up in the lust of that, and then we lose out. Remember what the 1 John chapter 2 through 5, 15 through 17 said about the love of God and the love of the world and the difference between the two. So that's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. In fact, we've gone past our break, so let's take a break and then we'll come back and finish up.
Love, the most beautiful thing in the world that you and I look for is love. I mean, you've heard the joke, haven't you? What do you get when you hear a country music song playing backwards? Well, you get your pickup truck back, you get your house back, you get this back, you get that back. All of country music is on love and it's on romance. My wife and I have been married for 47 years. Yeah. I know I don't look it, I just look 25 or something like that. But you know what? I'll never forget the day I met her. She was 16, and I was 20. I'd just come from India, she was from Canada. And when I looked at her, I wasn't listening much to the sermon that day. I was looking at her across, and I thought, that's the one I want to meet. And strangely enough, she thought the same thing. And now, after 47 years, in fact, coming up in 2-3 months, will be 48, as Margie and I have been wed, I want to tell you two things about love. It's hard work. It's hard work. You see, when you put the ring on that finger, it is a tourniquet to stop your circulation. When you say yes to her, you're really saying no to everyone else. Do you realize it's the greatest compliment you pay a human being when you take them at their word when they say, I do? Do you realize that? Young people, let me tell you something. G.K. Chesterton put it this way. Free love is a black and white contradiction in two words. Love was never intended to be free. It is the nature of love to bind itself. It is the nature of love to bind itself. And the consummate expression is the most sacred expression of all, physically, which actually represents the spiritual consummation of two people saying, I do. C.S. Lewis says there are four kinds of love. Agape love, the love of God. Storge love, parental love, which is protection. Phileo, which is brotherly love or friendship love. Eros, which is romantic love. Agape, storge, phileo, eros. And the other three have no point of reference without the first. They have no point of reference without the first. You cannot really define love until you understand the one who has created you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You cannot love without giving. And God gave to us the most precious gift of all in his Son. Love cannot be defined apart from God. And if our culture is messed up, it's messed up right here. We have no longer a definition or a point of reference for love. You love your car, you love your house, you love your dog, you love blue, you love Italian food, you love Indian food, you love your wife. Same word. Not so for the Greeks. They had agape, storge, phileo, eros, and the last three hung on the peg of the first. And if you are living with a broken heart today because of a broken love, you probably had that love broken because somebody didn't hang love on the peg of the eternal love of God himself.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again. Let us go to instruction number 16, and this is what the text I want you to read, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. And before I read the verse, this is what I want you to understand as the instruction. Practice this method of approach. And this is what Timothy was told by Paul in how to approach anyone. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, and instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And that is what we should adopt as a good practice in order to approach individuals. And again, this is what Matthew or Jesus said in exemplifying this in Matthew chapter 25. Turn now with me to Matthew 25. We're going to go to verse 34 through 36. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 34. Jesus said this: Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we in these situations? And this is what Jesus concludes with the thought. Verse 40 says, And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. My brothers and sisters, this is so critical. We have to understand that this method is successful with God, even if there is no increase. Remember, we are to plant and water. And by planting and watering, what did Jesus say through this parable about the king? He says, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We will receive our reward because of our due diligence to duty. And that is what I want you to get from this with the spiritual thought. This is that faith without works is dead. We must labor physically in God's vineyard to prove ourselves and our loyalty. And that is our faith. That's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to instruction number 17. Back to the 2 Timothy, book of 2 Timothy. We're going to be looking at chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 1 through 5. And I see that we're at the break time, so let's take the last break of the evening, and then we'll conclude the lesson.
All right, you have to learn to pray. You learn to pray in the same way. Lord, teach us to pray. Now remember, in living this Christian life, you don't have to live it alone. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The moment you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you to give you the power, the strength, the wisdom, the courage to live the Christian life. Now the Holy Spirit also helps in your prayer life. The Scripture says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit helps you to pray. Now, may I make a suggestion? There are so many people that say, well, I don't feel like praying. I only pray when I feel like it. Then you're wrong. You should have a definite time and place every day to pray. You have an appointment. You have an interview with Almighty God. Suppose you had an interview with President Eisenhower tomorrow morning. You'd get up and say, well, I don't feel like seeing the president this morning. Or suppose you were going to be presented to the Queen. Well, I don't feel like it this morning. No, you'd be there. You'd be dressed in your best. You'd go and present yourself to the Queen. Well, every day, God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is waiting. He has given you an audience at any time of the day, and you fail to keep your appointment. Have a definite time that you set aside and pray when you least feel like it. The will is involved here too. You say, I don't feel like it. All right, your emotion, your body says, I don't feel like it. My mind says, I don't feel like praying. My will makes me go and spend time in prayer because prayer is work. Prayer is work. And many times you make yourself keep your appointment with God, and out of some of those moments come your most precious moments and some of your greatest answers to prayer.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are on instruction number 17. We're back to 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. We're going to be looking at verse 1 through 5. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you. Be careful not to associate with such people. That is critical, my precious brothers and sisters. We know that Paul also said in, I believe, Corinthians, that bad company corrupts good manners. So we know how critical it is not to be caught up with those of like-minded faith and those who actually are performing with like-minded faith. Because there's a lot of Christians that say and don't do. And you know, we just read that faith without works is dead. Must do. So be careful not to associate with such people. And again, this is what Paul wrote or told Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasterers, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. For from such, Timothy, turn away. And we know, again, Paul laid it on thick in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 when he says, do not be unequally yoked to non-believers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Baal? And what part does the believer have to take part with the non-believer? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? So Paul is stressing the importance of this, my brothers and sisters, and it is so significant. Birds of a feather flock together. We should be with like-minded Christians, like-minded folks that believe as we believe. And this is what Revelation says about that. Just to add impetus to it, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church that is critical. Chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 14 through 17, this is what the Spirit says to the church. But I have a few things against thee. What? Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? It starts off with, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knows save in him that receiveth it. That is a part of your sealing, my precious brothers and sisters. That is so significant. So we should not be associated with such. Now let's go to our Old Testament complement, and we're going to look at, turn with me, if you will, to Psalms. And we're going to look at chapter 1, the first book in Psalms. And we're going to look at chapter 1 through 6. And again, this is what David rehearsed to the Israelites. And this is why it's so significant not to associate with those who are not like-minded, except if you are planting and watering. If you are sharing with them the word of God, by all means, be in their faces. Testimony with preaching, teaching, with witnessing, with admonition, exhortation, sharing the word of God to as many as you meet and greet. But do not fellowship with them leisurely, because that is entrapment. And this is how David put it in Psalms 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That blessing is to avoid that entrapment, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. You want to be around those of like precious faith, so you can sharpen your iron. You can build one another up in the most holy faith. That is key, provoking one another to better works. Verse 3, David says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. We must continue to plant and water. God adds the increase. And that's one fault that we have as Christian laborers in the garden and fishers of men, that we have a tendency to ward off because we don't see any results. That is not for us to determine. It is God that sets us to the work, and we should do it diligently. Verse 4 continues and says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So you do not want to be caught up in the mix. Remember, we just read that repent, because God is going to come before them and he's going to work them and he's going to try them. And if you're caught in the midst of them, guess what? Just like in a hurricane or out there in a tornado, if you're caught in the mix, you will be destroyed also, my precious brothers and sisters. And that's what we want to make sure does not happen to us. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that except for the sharing the word of God, we should not associate with perpetual sinners. Those who are sinners regardless. And we know who they are because they are not those who are espousing the works of the Bible. And that is something for us to understand and to adhere to. Okay, let's go to the final instruction for this evening. We're going to go back to 2 Timothy. We're going to look at chapter 3 again. We're going to go to verse 7 through 9 in chapter 3. And this is what the instruction is that I want you to keep in mind as I read to you the text. Be careful of those who are forever learning but not practicing what they are learning. Have you ever heard of walking the talk? There are many, my brothers and sisters, that talk but do not walk the same way they're talking. Those are to be avoided too. You got to be careful because they will catch you up in their calamity and you will be caught up in mob psychology as it's written in the world and become a part of whatever it is they're doing. Just like the folks that are out there protesting, some get caught up and that's where we do not want to get caught. And this is what Timothy told, or this is what Paul told Timothy in chapter 3, verse 7 through 9, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as also they were. We know that your works follow you, even as Jesus says, and in the book of Revelations, it tells us we will be held accountable for the works. Every one of us that knows the Bible can see the works of the ungodly. And that is what we're talking about, what happened to Jannes and Jambres with Moses. Okay, now this is what Jesus said about it, exemplifying. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 23, verse 1 through 4. I'll leave that to you because what Jesus said in chapter 23, he told us, be careful with the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they're the ones that they bind heavy burdens and grievous to bear on people and lay them on men's shoulders. And they don't even move them with their own finger. And this is what it should, the Old Testament comparing and agree. We go into Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 10. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says, I don't have time to read it because of the time expiring. But this is what I want you to understand from this particular lesson spiritually. That those who are double-minded and talk out of both sides of their mouths are not to be trusted. My brothers and sisters, that concludes the lesson for this evening. And the host and I would like to thank you again and bless you for your participation and encouragement. Good night.
thank you for tuning in to Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I hope you will join us again for our new night on Mondays, Eastern Standard Time, and I hope you are blessed by our program. Good night.